This reading is from Psalm 139, and I put the words in because I really want you to pay attention to what speaks to you, what touches your heart as you either listen to me or read along. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn or settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in that secret place, woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. The Word of God. I'm afraid that I'm unfixable. These soul-crushing words were spoken to me by a patient I was visiting, a man in his 20s. I had gone to deliver a Bible to him as he'd requested and stayed to listen for a while. He was open with me about his many years of struggles with mental illness and severe addictions, and shared that he was estranged from family and had no friends. His plan and hope was to enter a rehab facility upon his discharge from the hospital. And a few moments later, I noticed his tears, and he looked into my eyes and said those words that are some of the saddest that I've heard in my time as a chaplain. I'm afraid that I'm unfixable. I sat quietly with him for a bit, praying silently for wisdom. I couldn't say to him, oh, yes, you are. I don't think that would have helped him. So I offered this. I don't know if you are fixable or not. What I know is this, that you are completely known and utterly loved by God who created you. You are precious to God just as you are. Nobody else may be able to give you that grace, but God does. Then he asked one of the most difficult and popular spiritual questions of time. If God loves me, then why is he making me suffer like this for so long? Now, I don't believe that God makes or causes one to suffer. I could be wrong, I don't know everything, but that doesn't sit right with me if we believe that God is love, as Jesus told us over and over. But I lean on two pieces of scripture as foundational to that belief. Psalm 139 that we heard today and the book of Job. How many of you have ever read the book of Job in the Bible? If you haven't, I highly recommend it. It is interesting, it is poetic, it's a beautiful book. So in a nutshell, you probably know the story, but Job has it all, loses it all, and wonders why. His friends are thinking they're being helpful, explain to him that his sins must have caused all of his loss and suffering. While Job understands this common Jewish belief, he insists that he is innocent, and there's no sound reason that he'd be punished so severely. Job demands to speak directly to God, and God acknowledges that Job is correct about his innocence and adds that the answer to the question of why people suffer simply cannot be comprehended. Even if God could explain it, our human minds don't have the capacity to understand. That's not such a satisfying answer, is it? So let's move to Psalm 139. So many beautiful and comforting messages in that reading. It wholeheartedly confirms that we are deeply known and loved. And I'd like to ask if you're comfortable saying, what were the words or the phrases from this psalm that spoke or speak to your heart? If you look back, were there any that spoke to you? Darkness is as light. I'm sorry?
You know me.
You know me.
Mm-hmm. I am still with you.
I am still with you. For me, it's these lines. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. These words speak to me of perception, that God's perception of darkness and light may be wildly different than ours. So let me digress for a moment. The first professional conference I ever attended was the National Catholic Youth Ministry Conference in San Diego. I was 24 years old. All my youth ministry friends were there, and thousands of new ones, and it was so much fun. That was 40 years ago, and I can still recall the opening keynote speaker's message. Sister Jose Habde, now deceased, was in the Franciscan order and also an elder in the Seneca tribe, both of which heavily influenced her love of and advocacy for the earth. She herself could be described as earthy, and she had a wicked sense of humor. The youth ministers went wild over her, especially when she had the entire group howling, because it feels good. It's a practice I still find helpful at times when I'm by myself. Sister Jose remarked about how weather reporting takes up 20 to 30% of a typical news show, like the 6 o'clock news. She found it curious and rather ridiculous that so much time could be spent on a subject that we have little to no control over. And she said a lot of that time is spent judging the weather. We judge sunny and warm as good weather, and hot, humid, overcast with a chance of thunderstorms as bad weather. And yet all of it is necessary for our earth to flourish. The hot, cold, freezing, wet, dry, windy conditions are all good and important, maybe in less extreme. Are there any farmers here from farming backgrounds? You know that is true. And I'm not sure why this stuck with me, but I've returned to it often in my years of ministry. This idea that everything belongs, and that my perception of something as good or bad might need further reflection. This young hospital patient implied to me that he was feeling this: surely the darkness will hide me, and the light will become night around me. We are challenged, invited to consider that even the darkness will not be dark to you, God. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. Darkness is as light to you. Like the weather, we are programmed to believe what is light and dark in our lives, our world. Sickness, death, poverty, loneliness, and so on are dark. Their opposites are light, yes? But the psalmist's words invite me to see something deeper, that while the pain we experience may seem like darkness, perhaps God perceives it as light. What do you think of that idea? Anyone want to venture a thought? What is that? How does that sit with you? While the pain we experience may seem like darkness, perhaps God perceives it as light. Okay, a possibility for growth, an invitation to growth. Mm-hmm. Brad, you said it first. What were you thinking when you said that was your favorite line? Is it possible that something can be dark and light at the same time? Anyone else? Kind of blows my mind in a way. It makes me want to have further conversation with God about this. And I'm not talking here about some Pollyanna silver lining fluff, but perhaps a complex mystery of our faith. I shared some of this with the young man I was talking with and added, I don't know how or why suffering comes to us, but when it does, I believe that God offers us in that gifts, possibilities, and invitations if we keep our minds and our hearts, our eyes, and our ears open. We perceive darkness and light, and so does God, though possibly different than we do. And this is a point worth pondering, especially amid the chaos and turmoil that our nation and our world are experiencing now. Here are three invitations that I think Psalm 139 offers to us. Probably many more than that, but I'll offer three to you. The first is that God knows us and loves us intimately and has for all time. The invitation is to trust that wherever we are, whatever we're going through, wherever we are going next, that God is holding us in love. Secondly, if God loves everyone this way, then maybe we are invited to look at how we love others, especially our enemies or those we judge. We may not love perfectly by God, like God, but by trying to become more loving, we can never lose. And third, trust God in whatever darkness we think we are experiencing. Perhaps there is light in it, per God's unfathomable wisdom. Perhaps we need to stay awake to where God is providing and offering light. And if all that seems like too much, too hard, then the words of Psalm 46 may be what you need today. Be still and know that I am God. Sometimes we need to simply still our racing minds and our restless spirits and just rest in the loving arms of God, letting go of our need to fix or understand or change. Just rest. Let God be God. Let yourself be loved, known, and invited.